From the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Tuesday, November 12th. I'm Abby Larico. For most farmers, fall is harvest time and spring is for planting. But some growers are finding new, more sustainable roots in specialty perennial crops.
We have weeks where we send stuff to all 50 states at one time, one week.
Creating markets for crops that come back every year. That story coming up after this news on The Gateway. The Ferguson police officer critically injured in an August protest is leaving the hospital today. The family of Travis Brown announced in a social media post that he will be transferred to a rehabilitation facility this morning as part of the next phase of his recovery. Officer Brown was knocked to the ground during a protest on the 10th anniversary of Michael Brown Jr.'s death. He's undergone several procedures, including to address swelling and fluid in his brain. Starting around 11:30 a.m., he will receive a police escort from St. Louis University Hospital to Spirit Airport in Chesterfield. His family asks that anyone who wishes to show signs of support along the route do so safely. St. Louis area residents will be able to give input tonight over a proposed water rate increase that would affect areas across Missouri. As St. Louis Public Radio's Sarah Kellogg reports, detractors of the proposed plan warn the increase will largely affect residential customers.
In early July, Missouri American Water Company filed a water rate increase proposal they said was driven by water and wastewater infrastructure projects. Now, months later, the Missouri Public Service Commission is nearing its end of its slate of scheduled hearings to get public input over the proposal. According to the company, the increase would be an average of $18 a month. John Kaufman with Consumers Council of Missouri said the proposal is, quote, extremely aggressive, and that part of that increase would be in the fixed charge, sometimes called a customer charge.
So that means that they want to double that. So this is the fee that you pay before you use any water.
Kaufman says testimony given during the meeting will be recorded by the commission and will be used as evidence for consideration. I'm Sarah Kellogg, St. Louis Public Radio.
The meeting in St. Louis will be tonight at 6 p.m. at the University of Missouri St. Louis at the Millennium Student Center, Century Room C. Harris Stowe State University is no longer at risk of losing its accreditation, according to an independent organization that reviews colleges across the country. The Higher Learning Commission placed the university on notice 2 years ago that it was not meeting key requirements. That's after a review found that the school was not effectively tracking students' academic progress, among other staffing and recruitment challenges. In a letter sent to the university last week, the commission notes that the school has increased student retention and graduation rates. The school is also in better financial standing today and has more career development opportunities for students. The university will have to submit an interim report about student performance next year. A conservative legal activist is suing Illinois over a scholarship program for aspiring minority teachers. Ed Bloom also brought the lawsuit that wound up at the Supreme Court and ended the consideration of race in college admissions last year. Bloom's group claims a 32-year-old initiative to get more teachers of color in Illinois classrooms is discriminatory. Robin Steens of the advocacy group Advance Illinois says the scholarship helps narrow a huge mismatch between the state's students and teachers.
We've got research that tells us that students of color do better when they are taught by teachers of color, when they have some exposure at some point in their career to teachers of color.
Steen says more than 80% of teachers in the state are white, but a majority of students are not. 1 week after the election, U.S. Senator Tammy Duckworth says she's disappointed Donald Trump will be the next president. But as St. Louis Public Radio's Will Bauer reports, the Illinois Democrat says she's hoping to work across the aisle.
Duckworth declined to speculate as to why election night was such a poor one for her party. Instead, she's looking forward.
Obviously, with Donald Trump as president, my work is cut out for me to really work to counter many of his very authoritarian tendencies. I will make sure that we maintain the checks and balances in government and we don't just have a dictator.
Duckworth says she's concerned with the consequences on the American economy if Trump imposes more tariffs. With Republican control locked in the Senate and likely in the House, Duckworth says she'll focus on bipartisanship in the meantime. Specifically, she'd like to work on the Farm Bill and the defense budget. In Belleville, I'm Will Bauer, St. Louis Public Radio.
Senator Duckworth is also celebrating what she calls her Alive Day. Today marks 20 years since the helicopter she was piloting was shot down in Iraq. She lost both legs in the crash, but says her buddies refused to leave her behind.
They went back and carried me to safety, thinking that they were returning a body for my mom to bury. Today, I'm thinking of their heroism that gave me the opportunity to not only live, but live a life that was so much fuller than I could ever have imagined.
She made those remarks at a Veterans Day commemoration in Belleville Monday. Illinois state lawmakers are returning to Springfield today for the six-day legislative veto session. Democratic leaders, like House Speaker Chris Welch, are thinking about what another Trump presidency could mean for the state. Welch says those conversations will be ongoing, but he says the elections made it clear that residents are worried about their pocketbooks.
We're committed to defending the rights of Illinois. We're also committed to controlling the cost of families, rebuilding our fiscal house, and ensuring everyone who wants to work hard has a chance to get ahead.
The Democrats have a supermajority in the state House and Senate. Among bills they could call up is one that would abolish sub-minimum wages for workers with disabilities. Gun control advocates are not happy with a federal judge's decision to overturn an Illinois law banning assault-style firearms. Mawa Iqbal reports.
Judge Stephen McGlynn Friday ruled the law, which prohibits guns like the AR-15, is an affront to the Second Amendment. John Schmidt is a former U.S. Associate Attorney General and now works with the Gun Violence Prevention PAC of Illinois. He says he's not surprised by McGlynn's ruling, but he's confident the law will ultimately stay intact.
The legislature has acted perfectly reasonably in drawing the line between other types of guns and semi-automatic machine guns with particularly lethal features and high-capacity magazines.
The Illinois Attorney General's office is appealing the decision to a federal appeals court in Chicago. I'm Mawa Iqbal.
St. Louis food magazine Feast is ending its print edition. Managing editor Shannon Weber says it will become a digital-only publication in December. It's the latest cost-cutting measure from Feast's owner, Lee Enterprises. The media company also owns the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. This year, the newspaper said it would close its local printing press and lay off 72 press employees. It also laid off 6 newsroom employees in September. At the time, the Post-Dispatch said readers prefer online news over print. Weber of Feast echoed that sentiment. She says the move will allow the food magazine to be faster and expand its coverage. Perennial crops, ones that don't have to be replanted each year, are proven to be good for the soil and, by extension, the environment. But markets for these crops can be hard to find. Jana Rose Schleiss reports how Missouri growers and researchers have made the elderberry a success.
In a small packing shed in the southern Boone County town of Hartsburg, the staff of River Hills Harvest fill orders for Missouri elderberry products. From this little facility in the wooded Missouri River Hills, they're shipping elderberry juice, gummies, jam, tea, and more across the country.
We have weeks where we send stuff to all 50 states at one time, 1 week.
Terry Durham has been growing the tiny deep purple berries and turning them into consumable products for almost 30 years, and he was one of the first. A vegetable farmer originally, Durham was motivated to grow a perennial crop like elderberries because it's good for his farmland and less labor-intensive. Plus, he saw how successful European elderberry products were.
So for us, we knew we had a big market if we can figure it out.
Thus began a decades-long partnership between farmers such as Durham and researchers at the University of Missouri, who set out to learn how to grow, harvest, process, and market this relatively rare crop. Perennials like elderberries benefit the soil by keeping living roots in the ground year-round, which retains water and reduces erosion, qualities farmers are looking for as agriculture experiences the impacts of climate change. Andrew Thomas studies horticulture, agroforestry, and specialty crops at the University of Missouri. He says his work with the elderberry consumes him, and he depends on the partnerships with growers to guide the research.
We do research and we try to develop the crop. But the farmers are the ones that pick this up and take it up a notch.
For decades, elderberry researchers and farmers have shared data between the lab and the field. They developed best practices for growing and harvesting elderberries and studied their health benefits. Thomas's research has demonstrated the antioxidants in elderberries can boost the immune system. Thomas says for other good-for-the-soil perennials to take off, similar efforts are required, not only to grow the crop, but to create products from it.
Pawpaws and aronia, there's black walnuts, even pecan, they all need more research to develop the crop.
When a farmer takes a raw berry and processes it into something like a juice, it's called a value-added product and can be sold at a higher price.
A value-added producer can really command a whole range of market prices, but the market is not just sitting there. They need to go out and find that market.
Mallory Ray is an agribusiness professor at the University of Missouri and helps farmers develop business plans, create products, and find markets through MU Extension. She says there's a lot of customer education required when marketing a unique and somewhat unknown product, such as elderberries.
A lot of consumers have maybe not even heard of it and definitely not tried it. That first introduction to that product is really critical.
For years, Terry Durham at River Hills Harvest has been connecting elderberry growers and recruiting more. He travels regularly, speaking at conferences and trying to reach potential customers, sharing with them the benefits of the humble elderberry. Durham recommends one shot of elderberry juice a day, both for his well-being and his farm's.
To your health.
In Hartsburg, I'm Jana Roschleis.
That story comes to us from member station KBIA in Columbia. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a listener-supported service of the University of Missouri St. Louis. Music by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. I'm Abby Larico, and from the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, this has been The Gateway.